Far from fearing that souls will simply die, Aboriginal cultures in historical times have assumed that the soul is easily detachable from the live body. As anthropologist J.G. Fraser pointed out in The Golden Bough, 1890, pleasing the spirits of ancestors has been a constant preoccupation of many cultures for thousands of years. Shadows, reflections, photos, and dreams have often been thought to be detached souls traveling under their own direction. Animals and plants have been widely thought to have souls of a sort, too. Here is Fraser's account of a traditional hunter's view. He commonly conceives animals to be endowed with souls and intelligences like his own, and hence he naturally treats them with similar respect. Just as he attempts to appease the ghosts of the many as slain, so he essays to propitiate the spirits of the animals he has killed. In general, it appears to be supposed that the evil effect of breaking such taboos is not so much that it weakens the hunter or fisher, as that, for some reason or other, it offends the animals, who in consequence will not suffer themselves to be caught. If the folk beliefs of traditional cultures in historical times are any guide, our remote ancestors may never have considered that death means annihilation. One might argue that Darwinian natural selection selects for humans who avoid separation of their souls from their body. But we may question whether the many time-consuming ascetic practices and taboos that traditional cultures have imposed created any true selective advantage for the believers. There is assigned to every animal a definite life term which cannot be curtailed by violent means. If it is killed before the expiration of the allotted time, the death is only temporary, and the body is immediately resurrected in its proper shape from the blood drops, and the animal continues its existence until the end of the predestined period, when the body is finally dissolved and the liberated spirit goes to join its kindred shades in the darkening land. Traditional Cherokee belief. Alper assumes, for some reason, that all religion resembles the typical Western type. Reviewer Michael Joseph Gross picks up on this problem. Alper's evolutionary argument requires him to describe religion in universal terms, but his ideas about religion are strictly Western, monotheistic, and personal. And his representation of religious worldviews is exclusively dualistic. This argument is a clay pigeon, and could be blown away from any number of angles. The word Asia should suffice. Indeed.
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.